Personnel Administration Legislation Committee meeting, Monday, October 15th, 2018.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call to order the Board of Supervisors Personnel Administrative Legislative Committee for Monday, October 15th. We'll start with the federal update.
Hi, it's Emily.
Hi.
As we reported last week, the Senate actually wrapped up its legislative work, and so now the House and Senate have both adjourned until after the midterm elections. They will return for the lame duck session the week of November 13th. The House has been in recess since the end of September, and the Senate recessed on Friday, or I guess it was late Thursday, after Democrats agreed to confirm 15 federal judicial nominees. They basically packaged them all together, realizing that they were going to get through regardless. And so rather than using floor time and keeping members in D.C. rather than campaigning, they reached a deal and everyone left. So things are starting to be somewhat quiet here, and the focus is on the administration. One quick update on the administration and their family separation policy. I know you all are aware of the NPRM that's out there on unaccompanied alien children, and I know we're planning to make comments on that, submit comments. But in the meantime, the Trump administration is also considering a new policy to deter families arriving at the border, to include separating families. And nothing has happened yet, but they're talking about a 90-day pilot program, and parents seeking asylum would be given a binary choice to be detained with their children through the course of their immigration proceedings or to send their children to a shelter where they can be released to a sponsor. This change in policy could be done administratively and would not be issued through a rulemaking process. So I know it's been in the news the last few days, just wanted to flag it for you. Nothing certain yet, but this is apparently something they're considering. And that's really, you know, the report for this week. Again, it's going to be quiet the next few weeks on the Hill.
Okay. Are there any questions? All right. We have a request for a legislative position, H.R. 752 by Chu. No federal support for public charge. I made the request. Co-sponsors Keith Carson, Social Services, and Health Care. Any questions on this? Okay, we'll forward it on. State legislative update.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. As was last week, it's still pretty quiet in the Capitol. We found that most of our colleagues have been sent out to start working on some of the targeted Assembly and Senate seats already. So we're a little less than a month out, and the presence in the districts are already starting to ramp up quite a little bit. So we thought it was maybe a good time to do kind of an election overview, if you will. So right now in this moment, Democrats have 55 seats in the Assembly. While we were in session, it was 54, but because the North San Diego seat currently held by Rocky Chavez, a Republican, during the primary, the Republican, Rocky, didn't make it in the top two. So this is a guaranteed Dem seat. So for the purposes of discussion, let's just assume right now that Democrats have 55 seats out of 80 over in the Assembly. Right now, the focus by the Speaker is four of his seats that were picked up in 2016 that are pretty competitive. One of them is Sabrina Cervantes from Riverside, Sharon Quirk Silva from the Fullerton area, Almer Itsuchi from Torrance area, and then Rudy Solis from Bakersfield. So those are the seats that the Speaker and Assembly Dems have to hang on to. And then above and beyond that, they are targeting five seats that are currently held by Republicans that are pretty vulnerable. As many of you guys know, that includes Catherine Baker's seat, as well as the 38th Assembly District, 40th, and the 72nd Assembly District, as well as the 74th Assembly District. So all of those, except for Baker, are pretty much Southern California, North San Diego, Orange County seats. So for, you know, we'll be able to see here soon how close Assembly Democrats get to picking up what could be as many as 60 seats in the election next month. But a lot of mailers, a lot of money, a lot of attention and bodies headed out to those four protect seats and those five potential pickup seats. So that's kind of what the Assembly looks like. Over on the Senate side, there isn't as much, I don't know, drama is probably not the right word, activity, I guess, over on the Senate side. First and foremost, Senate Democrats don't really have any seats that they need to protect that they picked up in 2016 that they're worried about losing in 2018. That being said, there are three seats that are currently Republican-held seats that Senate Democrats are hoping to pick up. The first of which is Senator Kanella's seat. That's kind of the Merced area, and then it goes into Monterey, so all the way to the coast. Andy Vidak, which is in Hanford, and then Janet Nguyen, which is Orange County. So the Senate currently has, 26 seats, and obviously if they're able to pick up these additional three Republican seats that they're targeting, we could see the Senate Democrat roster go up to as many as 29. So as everybody knows, the reason why it's very important, obviously both on a federal level and on a state level, is there's power in numbers. And so for the Assembly to have well above that two-thirds marker for tax increases, the ability to place ballot measures on the ballot directly, as well as some parliamentary rules requirements that necessitate higher votes, very helpful for Assembly Democrats to have a couple extra votes, so they're able to spread the votes around as opposed to having to rely too often on just a small handful of targeted Assembly Democrats. If they can kind of spread that with a surplus, it's better for them to be able to hold on to their seats in 2020. And obviously in the Senate, with just having 26 Democrats right now, we are one vote shy of the 27th supermajority. We lost that number after the recall of Josh Newman. But I would expect that we will absolutely pick up the Kanella seat. That is the Merced Monterey seat. So we will definitely get back to 27, the supermajority in the Senate. But again, it's yet to be seen whether we'll get those two additional ones, bringing us up to 29. And of course, there will be notes about all of this in the PAL notes, which will be a little bit more legible and easier to follow. As far as initiatives go, so it's been reported that at least $300 million has gone into our 2018 November ballot initiatives alone, so it's going to be a very expensive season, but there is still a lot of activity happening worth reporting out on the 2020 ballot, which is coming together. So just as an FYI for everyone, three initiatives recently received titles and summaries and have been technically cleared to gather signatures. The first is a reintroduction of the Realtors initiative that we saw on the just a couple months ago that we were going to see on the 2018 ballot that was pulled at the last minute by the Realtors. They're coming back in 2020 to resubmit that item. Another one is elimination of particular data collection for stops and searches by public safety. And then the last one of note is an adjustment to the 2011 realignment as it relates to county jails versus state prisons, among others. So we know that's a priority for the county, and we'll have more information on that in the notes, as well. With that, I will turn it over to my colleague Gianna to talk a little bit about some census activity that's been happening here in Sacramento recently.
Yeah, we just wanted to quickly share with you a study that was done by the Policy Institute of California, especially given the county's leadership and interest in this issue lately, and we know what's at stake for California, not only our representation in Congress, but the way that our districts are drawn